morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I am just super honored and super privileged to have with me today, for Thanksgiving Day, the Bishop of Springfield, William Byrne. He's come in here. He's made wonderful strides with the Catholic Church. And I personally, and I'll do this right up front, the views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, Peter Marchetti in the mayor's office, Peter White in City Hall, and or all those people racing to get to Thanksgiving dinner. But Bishop Byrne my term for Bishop Burns, when people ask me, what's he like? My term is he's real. And I mean that as a compliment. So welcome, Bishop.
Thank you. Real what? Real stupid? Real good?
No, real. You're not pontificating. You're relating.
That's great. Well, gobble, gobble, and happy Thanksgiving Day.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. And I can't thank you enough for doing this. It's really an interesting times we live in, as they say.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
You've got a lot. I want to take a couple of minutes and let you promote the Beacon of Faith, if you want to.
Sure. I decided with the consulting of the priests and the, all our lay people that maybe it was time to do a capital campaign. It's a once in a generation thing. We hadn't done one for 25 years. The Future of Hope, which still helps fund so many of our ministries. One of the great blessings is that our priests are living longer. And so I wanted to make sure that we had the, our actuarial tables were based on guys that smoked and took less care of themselves, and now our guys are healthier, praise God. Yeah. So we want to make sure we get some money for the to help with their pension, bolster that. We want to help with the Berkshires, Camp Holy Cross. This is a gold mine. What a gem we have right there.
Oh, absolutely. In Goshen.
And we want to make sure that, they're not making, I don't know if you got the memo, Bill, but they're not making more waterfront property in the Berkshires on Lake. Yeah. So we got it. And we want to keep it and make sure it's for generations to come. And we're going to have a special fund to help parishes evangelize. But it's their money to spend, not my money to decide. And we want to help schools, Catholic schools, and kids and teachers and all different kinds of things like that. But the most important part is that 50 cents of every dollar goes right back to the parishes to help them do the... Most dioceses only send 30% back. And I was a pastor for all my priesthood before I ended up got a weird call saying I was going to be a bishop. And so that's where my heart is. And I said, the pastors and the leadership knows what needs to be fixed. I don't. They know what programs need to happen, not me. So
cool.
As I always said, the Holy Spirit doesn't just talk to me. It talks to all of us.
As you as a pastor, I'm going to relate it to my old background. The pastors and the parish priests and the sisters are the boots on the ground.
And then our goal is to send you out to go out and be boots on the ground in your neighborhood.
Right.
I'm not going to be sitting around your Thanksgiving table. You'd be probably grateful to know, because then there'll be turkey for everybody. But you will be there, and you'll be talking to your friends. And yeah. I'm not in your classroom or your boardrooms. That's where you all are. So that's what we got to do, is empower the laity to go out and change the world.
And as I said in my interview, or in my intro, he's real. And now you see why I say that. He has a gig, as they say in the entertainment world, on YouTube. And I must tell you, for the people who of the age that they don't know YouTube from, but would you, your dog and how I've watched that a few times in the last couple of months. Father Bishop has a dog.
I have a dog. She's right here. Zelly is her name.
Yeah, and I don't want to hurt his feelings, but usually when he visits a Catholic school, kids get more enthused about the dog than they do the bishop. But
that Catholic school, Catholic parish, anywhere. So
I was trying to be nice, Bishop.
That's sweet of you. It is Thanksgiving Day.
Yes.
So get it out of your system, all this niceness.
Yeah, yeah. It won't live long. But you related to that so well. You brought that. You made it real. And I know I use that word, but that's what you are.
Well, that's what I'm trying to be myself. And the one God created me to be, not somebody else. So.
Yeah. You've got a lot going on. I mean, the church as a whole has a lot going on, but I think what you have your arms around this diocese. I think that's fair to say.
In the sense of it's a great big hug,
right?
It's mutual. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. And we're talking about Camp Holy Cross. Your vision, and of course, someone I have the utmost respect for and like as a person, admire as a priest, is Father Malatesta. But I would never tell him.
Yeah, it'll keep me our secret.
Keep it between us.
Okay.
His vision and your vision for Holy Cross is amazing. Camp Holy Cross.
I mean, it's such a blessing that we have that. And we can't let it fall apart, and then we can't do anything with it, you know?
Yeah, and the vision of it being a year-round, I don't want to put words in your mouth, retreat, a gathering place.
Evangelization center.
Thank you. I knew they had a big term for it.
Yeah.
So that's one of the projects that the bishop has. And a lot of our churches are old.
Right, exactly. St. Charles in Pittsfield, we got to fix that wall. We got a plan. We just got to get the money to make it happen. You know, that's a gem of a parish.
Awesome.
You know, Father Peter Gregory formed that community for years, and now we've got new leadership, and we want to make sure that we support Father Barone and all the leadership of the parish. To make it a place so that the next generation has a great place to go and great memories to form and places to eat pierogies and these type of things, you know?
What Bishop is talking about is the wall, literally, the walls of the church are bulging out because of the infrastructure that's holding it is old.
Right.
And it's worn out. And,
sure what... bulging out and as with age, just look at me and Bill.
Yeah, there I am. Yeah,
we both bulged out, so there we
yeah.
go. Me and, so you though, I think.
Well, you know, I have a pastime now. It's called eating. But you'll be happy to know I did drive by the gym the other day, and came home and took a nap. I was exhausted.
I'm sure. Yeah, that's a good idea. I should do that. Drive by a gym.
What does Thanksgiving mean to you, Bishop?
You know, it's one of those things that I think it's one of the holidays that requires the least pressure, except for the people that are doing the cooking.
Yes. Yes.
And I've always say, you know, go to the store and pick up hamburgers. Who cares what you're eating?
That's
but,
right.
Unless you're a turkey farmer, I apologize, then go buy turkey. But the idea is that we just stop. There's no expectations. You don't have to go present shopping. You don't have to do it. You just get together, and hopefully you remember why we're there. We're not just there to eat, but we're there to give thanks and to thank God for the gifts that we've given, most especially on this day, to thank God for our country. You know, we just went through what we thought was going to be a crazy election cycle.
Right.
And yet... The power is transferring peacefully. The democracy works, and
Yeah.
And so we want to celebrate that and celebrate the people who have put themselves forward for service, whether they've won or lost.
Yeah, and I would say too, for the and I don't want to take the bishop's time, but I think he'll agree with me. You know, it was an election. Somebody wins, somebody loses. I'm hearing so many, well, I'm not going to my father's house because he voted for it. I'm not going to go to my brother-in-law because he voted for it. I'm not going to go down to my cousins because I will just share this with you. You're not guaranteed, one, you'll be here next Thanksgiving, or
right.
two, all the people that you're now going to shun won't be here, will be here. So think about what Thanksgiving is about. With us, me saintly Irish mother, nothing come above or before family.
Right. And I just think that's the, you know, I don't think that that is, you know, from God. We've got to be able to transcend our differences.
Yeah.
What do we say? E pluribus unum, from many comes one. And we're not all, we come from different backgrounds, different nationalities, different languages, and yet in this great land, we can be one. And to deny that is to really deny something about the unity to which we're called as people of faith, but also just as Americans.
Yeah, and I think, thank you for saying that. And I think, too, it's important that people, you know, this was an election. There was a winner, there was a loser. What's the old saying? The people have spoken.
Right.
If they didn't sing the song you wanted to hear, that doesn't mean you throw in the towel. I don't think. I mean, I've been around a long time. I was reminiscing with another former Catholic school when John Fitzgerald Kennedy was running for president.
Right.
And how the people, especially people in other states and stuff, didn't want him because he was Catholic.
Right.
And the Pope would be running things. And I think back and, you know, he overcame so many things using the right, my opinion, the right approach. Kindness, and he told you what he was going to do.
But you know what else, though? It's like the old adage, well, it doesn't really apply to you and me, but to a lot of people, if you don't like your haircut, wait a week.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to grow out. Just look at the pendulum of politics in the last elections. One side wins, then the other side. It's like,
yeah.
Okay, well, we all get our chance at this, and you don't like it? Wait a little while, and you're going to have a chance to vote again. And
yeah,
that's democracy.
And again, it's family. And, you know, I have experienced the loss of my brother just before Thanksgiving. I experienced many years ago, or 20 years ago, believe it or not, my father died the day before Thanksgiving.
Wow.
So when I say, I'm not saying this out of the blue moon, you don't know whether you're going to be here next Thanksgiving or the people who are sitting around the table that now, because of an election, you're going to show.
Right. And you know what else I always say is, remember this, heaven is a no-grudge zone. You can't get in there if you're walking around with a handful of grudges. There's a big grudge with a red line through it right on the pearly gates. And so you got to get rid of these things and these hurtful. And I think you just make a rule, no talking about politics.
Oh.
Think of happy, good memories, no talking about controversial. And that's been a rule forever. No talking about religion, sex, or politics. And we need to reinstate that. If
yes.
I were emperor of the world, I would make that rule.
Well, you're close. You got a little portion of it. What are you most thankful for? And let me caveat that. in your new role as, not new anymore, but as in your role as bishop?
Well, I'm really grateful that God let me be here in Western Massachusetts. You know, I the people have been so gracious and welcoming and fantastic. It's 4 years now I've been here, so it's not like I'm just the new kid on the block. But I am very grateful because there's a whole diversity of challenges from urban Springfield and Pittsfield with its own form of poverty to the right. beauty of, you know, the Divine Mercy Shrine and the yeah. the graces that flow from that to you go up to the Upper Valley and there's, you know, this the great towns, the hill towns. It's just it's a wonderful place and an undiscovered place. But most importantly, the most beautiful thing about it is the people.
Yeah.
When I became bishop, my first day of bishop, I turned to Cardinal O'Malley at the thing and I said, and to Bishop McManus from Worcester, and I said, no offense, but I got to tell you something. People get nicer the farther west you come in Massachusetts. And that's the absolute truth.
There's a lot of truth to that, believe me. And what's been the most challenging part of your bishop position?
I think that you know the fallout over the years of the clergy abuse scandals.
Yeah,
you know, we're hit in a special way very hard in New England, yes. And so to try and bring healing every day to that is an important part, and that's a challenge. But just like every challenge, it's maybe the better word is an opportunity.
Yes.
An opportunity for healing, an opportunity for blessings and grace. I think also, you know, one of the things that's people have moved out of Western Massachusetts in the same way. You know, when GE left Pittsfield, how many jobs did it take with it? Oh. How much of the industry was left? And the support systems of restaurants and grocery, all those things. And so as the population shrunk, so did the need for the church. You know, we didn't need, how many was it, 9 churches in yeah. Pittsfield? But it gives people the perception that it's a shrinking church. But that's not really true. The church is still, we're working to make it even more vibrant. But because the population shrunk, it also means that people perceive that the need for God has shrunk. And that's exactly wrong. We need Absolutely. Him more than ever.
Yeah. Yeah, and boy, there's a lot of truth to that. The people, I'm seeing people come back to church. You know, people my age, kids, you know.
Yeah, youngsters.
Youngsters. Well, they don't call us that. I mean, they call it something else. I think, seniors.
Geezers.
Oh, geezers, yeah. Yeah, I've been called a lot worse, but I'll take geezers. Younger people and kids, yeah, every time I hear a kid cry in church, I think of you. When you said, those are your angels singing.
Oh, I said, no, that's the sound of a family of prayer.
Yeah, yeah.
Of prayer.
You know, it's so true. But I have to tell you, 4 or 5 months ago, I might have told you, this older couple, there was a cutest little kid, and he was trying to sing with the choir. And of course, but don't they turn around and just snarl at the parents? You know, and then they're first in line for communion. So we'll leave it at that. But I do see a resurgence of people right. coming back. And, the former bishop closed some churches here out of necessity. But people have overcome that now, I think.
But also, I think, We're starting this next year coming up, 2025. You know, every 25 years, the church celebrates what we call a jubilee.
Right.
So a jubilee is a special celebration. This year is the Jubilee of Hope, Pope Francis is calling it.
Okay.
There's a whole bunch of stuff that's going on. You know, we've named certain churches to be pilgrim churches, where if you go there, you receive an indulgence. So the National Shrine of Divine Mercy is one of the pilgrim
Oh,
sites in the
I was just there today. Or
beautiful.
day before, a couple days ago, yeah.
And so I was just there yesterday. And but that's just one thing. But the other initiative that we're starting, and it's very simple, it's called Walk with One. And the idea is, if everybody just walked with one other person, figured out, prayed about it, prayed to God for the person, and figured out, who could they ask back? Who could they ask for the first time? And
Yeah.
just invite them. And if we all invited one person, wow, we'd
Yeah.
double our numbers.
Yeah. That's an excellent recommendation, and I'll check with the high command, the big boss, the Polish
Yeah,
princess.
I know. Yeah.
See who can, see who we can invite back. As a kid, where the faith was everything in our house. With my mother, I hope we can make this get to back to what it was.
Right.
And now, what? How are I? How are the Catholic schools doing? Because I'm a big supporter of them here. I had the principal, who was great. I don't know if you knew this. She was greatly honored to speak at the New England something or National Association of Educators.
Right.
From St. Agnes and Father Chris. And also I've had the principal from St. Mary's on. They're
Right.
just good people.
Right.
That
Excellent. Great. The good thing is they're not just good people, they're excellent educators.
Exactly.
You know, and that's what makes the school so incredible.
Yeah, and what we did, Bishop, and I should send you the link. I will. What we did is we dismissed all the fallacies that you hear. Well, they're not up to date on technology. Well, if they know Father Malatesta, he's a techie, and they
Right.
are up to date, all of them.
Right.
Then, well, they're not up to date with science. They show the science programs. I mean. Oh, how about the math? Math is fine to get challenging math courses. So all the what do I want to say, naysayers that say, you going okay, you're going to lose, they're absolutely wrong. Actually, I think you're going to gain.
Right. And it's not just, you know, the fact of the culture of where we can educate the whole child, mind, body, and soul, whereas we can, they can't do all three of those. The reality is that the tests across the nation show that there's a gap, and Catholic school kids are ahead of everybody,
Right.
you know, of every public school. So, you know, and the more urban areas where you are, the more likely that is going to be the case. And
Yeah.
so that's the reality. None of those myths, they're just put down there by people that don't know the facts.
Yeah, and I also think it's just people who throw out something with right, with no facts or substance behind it. And my father, God rest his soul, he said, when you're a father, you have, and this was him, two responsibilities. Be a good role model, and he was to me, went to mass every day. Be a good role model. And make sure your kids get the best education they can.
Absolutely. My dad was of the generation where his father had an eighth grade education. He was one of 10 children, and every single one of those children had a graduate degree.
Wow.
So, I mean, that was that generation. My father said, I can give you a gift, and that's to be a good educator. My dad was also, it's funny, my dad was a daily communicant, and
Yeah.
my two best friends, their dads were daily communicants, all different parishes. They weren't all just friends at the same parish.
Oh,
So I
cool.
grew up thinking, oh, that's what dads do. Oh, men pray. Oh, that's what a real man does. He prays. He starts his day with prayer. And that was my experience. And that what an incredible gift that is.
Yeah, and if let me compliment your mom and dad because they're the persons who made you real.
Yeah, I agree with you.
They are. I mean, I think about oftentimes, especially this time of year, as I mentioned, my dad died 20 years ago, the day before Thanksgiving, and what a tremendous blow that was to me.
Oh yeah.
And
And
I was.
your brother right before Thanksgiving, yeah.
Yeah, and my dad, you think, well, they're always going to be there, and I guess that's what I'm saying to some of the people who are going to let the election results spoil their Thanksgiving. Not everybody's always going to be around that table.
Right.
I learned a very harshly 20 years ago, and so I just would say to you, don't miss the opportunity to share Thanksgiving with
Yeah,
family.
I agree with you. Regret should not be your memories of Thanksgiving.
So, you've been overseas. Were you out of that big to do at the Vatican?
No, I was actually there for an ordination of one of the students who studies at the seminary there for Americans called the North American College. But I was not part of the synod. I talked to
Synod.
them, many of them, but which I'm sure was a very exciting experience, but they had to go and be there for a month.
I know.
And my dog would have been in therapy if I had been gone for a month.
Well, that was how'd that fly with the Pope? Pretty
The
good.
Pope, he didn't ask me anyway, so
All right.
I didn't disappoint him.
Yeah, but a lot come out of that. Your thoughts on it?
Well, I think the idea is not so much that the results were the process more than the conclusions. So the process was, how do we become a more listening church? So I'm in the process right now with Father Malatesta to do have some synodal sessions around the diocese. So the first one's going to be, I don't know if we have a date yet for it, but is just an opportunity for conversation. So the idea is that I'll come up probably to St. Joe's, where they've got a big hall, and we'll have a conversation. The first conversation is how do we bring them home? Our kids, our neighbors, and let people, like I said, the Holy Spirit talks to everybody. Let people have their thoughts and share these ideas. And if they have other ideas about how we can be a better, stronger, healthier church, well, I'm all ears. So that's going to be our process of being a synodal church is to, and I know Father Malatesta is in the process of helping me work that, have worked that out to figure out when we're going to do that.
I told him, I said him last time, I said, next time I see the bishop, I'm going to tell him you're sleeping between 2 and 4 in the morning. You have that could be work time for you.
Yeah, he's very lazy that way.
I don't know how he does it. And he just lost his dad not long
I
ago.
know. He's
So,
amazing.
bring, you know, I think what you just said, if I may just, when I worked with violent youthful offenders, I had one of them give me, I took it as a high compliment. And he said, I let him talk, and I knew some of it was malarkey. But I still let him talk. And when he finished, he said, you know, you're the only person that really just listened to me.
Right.
And that has resonated. Believe me, there's not a lot resonating here anymore. You know, it's mostly old cobwebs. But that has resonated me to current times. We're not listening.
I remember seeing a friend of mine, and his 4-year-old was having a snit about going to bed.
Yeah.
And so the kid said, "I don't want to go to bed." And the dad said, "Well, why don't you want to go to bed?" And he said, "Because I want to stay up." And he said, "Well, that must be really frustrating if you want to stay up, but you also know you got to go to bed." And the kid said, "Yeah, I know. I wish that I could do both." And as the kid's explaining this, he's slowly walking upstairs to go to bed.
Yeah.
And the idea was that he was being listened to. He still knew he was going to go to bed.
Right.
But he wasn't. He knew somebody cared and was going to hear the story, and that's the Citadel way.
Yeah. We're going to take a break. I am here for people just tuning in. I know putting kids on the bus, well, not today, Thanksgiving, but people are traveling and all that. I'm here with Bishop William Byrne. He is the Bishop of Springfield. That's through the Vatican. But we also call him the Bishop of the Berkshires, and that's through the show.
I like that.
Yeah. But and he's, in my opinion, he's a joy to talk with because he's real. There's no malarkey, as my Irish mother would say. It's what you hear, what you see, and what you hear is what you get. He doesn't change whether. And so please stay tuned. There's more to talk about. This is Thanksgiving Day. Enjoy it. Be with family. Be with friends. Because no one's going to guarantee all of them will be at the next Thanksgiving. I just lost my brother. And I 20 years ago, I lost my father the day before Thanksgiving. So remember that. Remember that. We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. And we're channel 1301. On Spectrum Cable, we're on YouTube, we're on streaming, we're on everything. But we'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Hey, it's Sean from WTBR FM. Whether you just found this station for the first time or you've been listening for years, you might not know everything about WTBR FM. Want to find out more? It's easy. Just go to WTBRFM.com. You can find full programming schedules, listen to the station anywhere in the world, subscribe to our podcasts, and even learn to create a program of your own. And of course, donate to the station. That's WTBRFM.com. Check it out today.
Greetings, this is John Pollock, host of The Jazz Train, which comes your way every Saturday night from 10 to 11:30. The Jazz Train generally features music recorded on a particular calendar date in years past and provides relevant commentary and discographical details. So why not join me for a ride on the Jazz Train for a weekly musical adventure, coming to you on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. I am here today with the Bishop of Western Mass and the Bishop of Springfield. His name is William Byrne. I describe him as real. What you see is what you get. When he tells you, you can pretty much take it to the bank. I believe he is, my personal belief, is he has really breath of fresh air into this diocese. And he's out and about. He's in the Berkshires. I mean, I can tell you bishops probably weren't in the Berkshires 3 times in their tenure. He's in the Berkshires all the time.
And, I was there yesterday.
Yeah.
No, last week. I was there last week.
But they, so what do you think the challenge is for the church in the, how can, like the laity, what can we do to help bring the church, rebuild it to its I don't want to say grandeur.
Well, there's
but,
two things I think. One is, you know, is to get involved. If you know, Saint John of the Cross, he said, if you come into a place and you don't find love, bring some love and you're going to find it.
Yeah.
Bring some hope and you're going to find it. Bring some life and you're going to find it. So if you're in a community and things aren't happening, well, go and tell the pastor, can we start a Bible study? Can we start this? He doesn't have to do it. There's plenty of stuff where you can read it, get it online. So creating communities where people feel welcome, that's not just the pastor's job. That's everyone's job. And then, as I said, we're going to walk with one for the Jubilee year.
Yeah.
We're going to get everyone to try and invite one person and bring them back or bring them for the first time.
Yeah. And you know what you just said, though, too, is it's so very true that we bringing people back, just saying to someone that you know was or maybe wanted to be or whatever, hey, say, come to Mass with me, or hey, we got something going on. And also, this may not be the right word, please don't take offense, the extracurricular stuff like Bible study. I think focus groups for seniors.
Right.
You know, we found out during COVID that the non-socialization did more damage to seniors than the actual disease.
Right. Absolutely. You know?
And I know Father Barone at St. Charles now. I'm a product. They're probably not proud of it, but I am. I am a proud product of the St. Charles Youth Group that was formed under Father Thomas Lowen, who has passed. But I'm still friends with people in that.
Right.
We're in late 70s.
Right. That's exactly it. It's all about community. That's what Pope Francis keeps saying, encounter. We need to go and encounter people. We're all about being one community, one body of Christ. Yeah. And that's what we have to do. And it's not my job. It's all of our job.
And that's a wonderful thing to, I think, translate to people. And I mean translate, because so often everybody look to the priest, you know.
Right.
And when I see it, just since Father Barone has been back and in other parishes, the laity's doing a ton of stuff.
Right. And you know what else I think? This is not just a Catholic thing. So if you're listening and you're not Catholic, well, if you have a faith community, get involved.
Yes, exactly.
If you don't, go knock on the neighbor's door and say, you want to come have a cup of coffee?
Yeah.
You want to have a glass of wine? Come on over. It's just about rebuilding community that used to be a natural part.
Yeah.
You know, when you were growing up, as when I was growing up, you know, it was the come home when the streetlights came on.
And yeah, come home.
Yeah, come home when the and we were just out playing with the neighborhood kids.
Yeah.
And now they're staring at their phones in their bedrooms. And what a tragedy that is.
Yeah, and there's a book, you may have heard of it. If I'm digesting it. I'm not reading it. I'm digesting it. It's called Anxious Generation.
Mm.
And what technology is doing, and what parenting, the being a parent means. Sometimes you have to say no.
Well, it was interesting. I was talking to a man. He's a parishioner down in the Maryland area. And his wife sent out a notification to all their friends in the parish and said, anybody want to join me in not getting our kids a smartphone until they're, you know, 16 or whatever.
Right.
And she said the first weekend she had 50. By the end of the month, she had 250 families.
Yeah.
So that the kids would get together and they wouldn't be looking at their phones. They would be looking at the ball or the, you know, whatever they were playing, the hoop. And there was such a hunger for it. People wanted to have community, but not a community that's based in the social media, but based in the front yard.
Yeah, and you had said it. In the, we were outside till the streetlights come on. We played volleyball. There was for a period of time when I was a kid growing up as a teen. We played volleyball every night in the spring, in the summer, in the fall, till the snow came.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, a group of us, including parents. That was the other part. And I, you know, my experience with violent youthful offenders and youth in general, I say this, you don't have to agree with me. Parents have to be parents, not friends. They have enough friends.
Right.
Kids, my father had no, and I don't know how yours, but my father had no problem saying no.
Yeah, no, neither did mine.
And it wasn't then a debate afterwards. It was no, and the discussion was over.
Right.
You know? But you mentioned it, cell phones. We were out the other day at a restaurant, and there they were, mom and dad, three kids, all had their cell phones. Well, mom and dad have to be the example and say, put your cell phone away.
Right.
Let's converse.
Right.
You know, and I think what you're doing and what the church is doing, all churches, and you, thank you for saying that, because I have Pastor Sheila, she runs the Baptist church here. She's a beautiful lady, a beautiful bird, has done great things with that parish, that church, and others. We got to get faith back in our life.
Right. I mean, it's not a mistake that, it's not coincidence that as people have stopped attending churches, that anxiety's gone up, depression has gone up, all these issues which have affected us, which cost a lot of money for people to try and fix. And it's not the only reason we want to fix it. It's just because, but it, the expense is an indication of just the amount of cultural investment that we're putting in kind of on the wrong end, as opposed to trying to fix the, and say, let's get it before they even started to feel that way. And that's to move beyond just a virtual world and social media. You know, social media is a good thing, and I'm on it. But I'm on it to try and get people off of it so that they go and have community. You know? And so that's where we need to be.
Yeah, and I also think, too, it's Thanksgiving time. I try to tell, I do it myself. I try to sit back and say, what, and specifically identify, what am I thankful for?
Right.
And, you know, I'll share this with you. When I, years ago, a young second lieutenant came to Vietnam and met a grumpy old sergeant who had through three tours. And he went up and trying to, you know, become one. Because he's joining a unit that is already cohesive.
Right.
So he's got to break in. And he said to the sergeant who ate rusty nails and for breakfast, and he said to him, so over here, sir, we live one day at a time. And the sergeant, over here, sergeant, we live one day at a time. And the sergeant responded, sir, with all due respect, over here, we live one step at a time.
Wow.
The kid turned white. But that's always resonated in what I have left for a brain. And when I sit down and thank God, I thank God for waking up in the morning.
Right. I think about the challenges that I've had and thank God for those challenges, because that's usually where I find him most poignantly, is not just the beautiful days. That's great. Fabulous. Love of friend. All those things I'm grateful for. But I'm kind of grateful for them all the time. Yeah. I need to be grateful for the days that are cloudy, because they remind me of his love for me, even when I don't feel it and when I don't experience it directly, you know? And that the things that I learn from challenges are the blessed, truest blessings of all.
And that and challenges are not bad.
Right.
They should, you know, I mean.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. 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 What you take away from your challenge, or new experience, or even a rough time. How did, you know, I lost my brother. How am I handling that? Well, you know, it's a loss.
Right.
I know he's in a better place, but it's a balancing act.
Yeah.
Because you can, you know, you through a parish priest and the number of people you've treated for depression when a loved one dies.
Yeah.
You know?
I used to have a support group for families that lost children
when
I was in a parish. And there's no place in a parent's mind for that. So on this day when people don't want to be with their kids or their kids don't want to be there, think of those people that can't.
Right.
And that would give their whole, everything they've got, every penny they've got, just to see that person around a table one more time. Right. And they can't. And then we say, oh, I can't go because I'm going to disagree with them about an election? What? Are you kidding me?
I know. And you know, I think back, and like I told the bishop, and maybe I'll put it up on Facebook. I told the bishop I found the menus that they gave us when I was in Vietnam for Thanksgiving. And everybody had it. Well, I should say, I'm pretty sure if they didn't, everybody, they tried to make sure everybody had a Thanksgiving dinner. But it was in and out. They brought you in, you ate, and you left. But a little indigestion. But to me, what the bishop said, and I guess what we want, let's be thankful. Don't be angry. People are just angry, Bishop.
Right.
And they're not charitable.
Right. And if you don't find love, bring it. Don't bring anger, because you're going to find anger.
Yeah. Yeah. And don't play into it. You know, I was fortunate enough to, as a child, I don't know if I've ever shared, as a child, there were three or four of us hooligans. I didn't say that. They lady called us those.
Right.
That got to spend quite a bit of time at the Divine Mercy Shrine. When it was, they had a situation called Marian Week. And they had farms. They had pigsties. They had cows. They had, yeah, it was an active farm.
Right.
And it was just something that I was just there actually today, day before. And it was just really different. Not different in a bad sense, different. And I got to see one of the old priests. He's going to be, I think he said 100 in January.
Wow.
And I knew him when he was a seminarian. And we have been friends all these years. And in dark times, and I've had them, he was there. And it's just something, and you said it, it's now been designated as a pilgrim church. Is that what you said?
Right. I did that. That's for the bishop, local bishop does that for the for the holy year.
Oh, cool. So if you ever get to the audience, it's, they call it Eden Hill. It is, the scenery is, I mean, if you want to just drive up, park the car and just walk around, that's probably as close to heaven as a lot of us will get. But
right.
Seriously, what do you think? Wait just a minute. I told the president, don't call. I was on with the bishop. What's your vision for the next year?
It's the Jubilee year. Celebrate, bring one person back at a time, go visit Eden Hill or the Divine Mercy Shrine. And also, the other churches that are designated are the monastery, the Visitation Monastery in Tieringham.
Oh, yeah.
The Berkshires. We've got St. Stan's Chicopee. We've got the cathedral. We've got Thomas Aquinas College up in Northfield and the Newman Center at UMass Amherst.
Cool.
So that's going to be a great opportunity for people to go and see a church maybe they've never been to and go there and have a visit.
Bishop, before we go, how can we best use this Advent to really prepare for the Christmas day, I'm going to say that.
Yeah, I think one of the things that is just important to remember is don't put Jesus in the NICU, in the neonatal intensive care unit, by having him born too soon. Advent is like Lent. It's a season of preparation. Now, granted, you're going to want to prepare your tree and your gifts and your cookies and all that, but let yourself experience Jesus' time before he's being born. Walk with Mary. Always a good advice. Walk with Mary and don't put Jesus in the NICU by celebrating Christmas before Christmas has even started.
Yeah, and I like to, and I know this fires up some people. I close the show every day with God bless, and today let's take care of each other and help somebody with a burden. And the feedback sometimes is less than happy, but that's what I try to do. I don't need to do this show. But I have you on because I want people to hear from you. I have Richie Neal on here, the mayors, whatever, hear from the person, not what the bishop said. No, here's the bishop.
Right.
You heard it right from his mouth. And I again applaud you and the team you have put together for Beacon of Faith, Beacon of Light,
Speaking of faith.
Beacon of Faith. It's amazing.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it.
And
Great.
all the people, and I mean, some we have St. Charles, just wonderful people. I wish you and yours, and tell Mark, I can't make it without him, so just don't be doing anything foolish. And I have a wonderful Thanksgiving day. And
Same to you, and know
remember,
my prayers for your brother Bernard and for the whole family and this time of loss. And just be assured that the power of the resurrection is stronger than any loss that we have.
and I will leave you as I always do with a really nonsensical thought. Have a lot of turkey, start to watch the football game, and when you wake up, it will be over.
God bless you, and happy Thanksgiving to everyone who's listening.
Thank you. God bless. And hold on, folks. I got a couple of announcements for you. I do want to thank the bishop. Thanks, Bishop, for everything. We are having the bishop on is a great. It's for me. It's unbelievable that he does come on and he spends the time with us. And what you hear from the bishop is what the bishop is saying. And I know that's kind of goofy, but by now most of you know I'm kind of goofy. I do want to also, as we get into the Christmas season, I do want to let people know there's toys for tots. There are boxes. They're all over the place. Please, please help out the Marines and their Toys for Tots. They've been doing it a long time. Also, I'm a big supporter, excuse me, of the W.E.B. Du Bois Center for Freedom and Democracy. They're doing a lot of things, and I would suggest that you get on their mailing list and just support them. They're a wonderful group of people doing a lot of really wonderful things. Also, the other one that I really, really want to support is Roots Rising. What they're doing with kiddos, and they still have the farmers market. It's in the Lutheran church now for the winter. You can go there and see that and just be part of that in and of itself. And also, this Thanksgiving, let's think, what is it we really have to be thankful for? There's, to me, it's the next step, the next breath. But as a country, we got to come together. We got to believe in each other. And we have to just be kind to each other. I mean, I've had a couple of incidences in public places where they weren't not only not kind, they were kind of mean. But that's okay. I'll get by it. I'm a pretty resilient guy. I wish you all of you, a happy, happy Thanksgiving. And please, as we've said throughout, don't let silliness keep you apart, because nobody's guaranteed tomorrow. Nobody. God bless. Thank you for watching. Happy Thanksgiving. And again, today, some people will be grieving because they've lost family members since last Thanksgiving. So help them out. Lift their burden. Thanks a lot. See you soon. Happy Thanksgiving.